necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday.
The 24th of January.
January 24th. That is a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host today. Today is Wednesday. That means it's a mash-up Wednesday. That means that we mash two shows together to form one where Aaron from On The Clock with Aaron Green and I, Guardian Radio AM, C.A. Nuri, mash the shows together and analyze the news. Right, we talk about what is trending and what is in the news, and we try to dissect it and try to explain what is happening. So what's inside the news? What's inside the news is a debate about gang activity and how do we police it. Crime is inside the news, violent crime. I want to bring to the fore today that the entire Caribbean, in fact, the entire world is grappling with gang activities, and there has been much debate with it. I want to also highlight Jamaica, Barbados, Turks and Caicos. They have issued statements about what they are doing in terms of curbing gang activities. Recently, we see that the U.S. Embassy has issued a statement about crime. I didn't send it to you yet.
No.
Oh, sorry about that. I issued a statement about, I think I did. Look in your email. I mean, your WhatsApp. About crime today. No? None? Okay. And we will respond. I mean, it's expected. It was expected. But I want us to delve in and see what exactly is happening. One of my critique, which I was debating with Aaron earlier, was whether there is gangs in the Bahamas, in New Providence. Aaron pulled up a 2016 report from some foreigners.
From an organization called Refugee World.
Foreigners.
They cited documentation from Canadian,
about the Bahamas.
From Canada.
I want to see the Bahamian version. But from our police. Do you have anything from our police that I can delve in and analyze? Then there goes that silence.
So it's so difficult finding documentation from our government services.
Sounds like
online.
You want a Freedom of Information Act or something.
I want the government services in all of the ministries to be like the same as they are in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or in the Ministry of Tourism, Investment and Aviations. I want those ministries, agencies and departments to be empowered and enabled through resources and policy decisions to be able to engage the public with information in the same way that tourism engages foreigners with information.
But Aaron, tourism is everybody's business.
But anyway, crime isn't everybody's business.
If it was, you're going to get that report. But let's go to the foreigners and see what the 2016 report, who are they from again?
Refugee World.
What are they saying about the Bahamas?
Says Bahamas, information on the fire and theft gang, including activities and state response from 2014 to November 2016.
So this is a long time ago. This is 2016. How much years ago that is?
That's 7 years ago, roughly.
There were 7 years ago. So things changed, but go ahead.
It's the Canada Immigration and Refugee Board of Canada. I'm just going to read from Section 2.1. Section 2 is the state response. Section 2.1 is the laws. According to the Bahamas Minister of National Security, an amendment to the Bahamas Penal Code was enacted in Parliament in 2014. With the intention of eradicating gangs. Without providing further details, the Tribune states that the Bahamas Penal Code Amendment Act 2014, which was enacted on June 12, 2014, and was, quote, published in the Official Gazette, close quotes, on November 23, 2015, makes the act of affiliating with a gang illegal. A copy of the Criminal Code Amendment Act 2014 available on the International Labor Organization website is attached to this response. Now, that part, I wanted to read that into the record. Let me tell you why. Because I can't find a copy of the Criminal Code Amendment Act 2014 online. And this labor organization, the link to the act that's supposed to be on the ILO website. I couldn't access it. I couldn't find it. And so I found it amazing that these guys in Canada have access or had access to this act. I can't find the act online. The only thing I can find is the bill, is the 2013 bill, but the act itself, can't find it online. Can't find it anywhere. But these guys, they found it. And so this was an assessment that they made. And one point I want to make that they say in this report is they note the difficulty of accessing information in the short time period they had available to them to compose this report. So, Mr. Newry, I mean, I want to just reiterate, I think that gangs exist. I think that the legal community, that I think that the jurisprudence, right, has not figured out how to define a gang in a way that enables them to prosecute.
One thing I know about law is that common law means that you can go to other jurisdictions.
Right.
And apply definitions. Go to England, Jamaica, Australia. Anyone have that British-type system and say, man, what you all have?
So I found a couple of articles looking at other jurisdictions yes. and their approach. Just a little brief excerpts. Let's start with this article. Explainer, how do other countries deal with gang crime? This is from One News in New Zealand. This is from the 29th of June, 2022. It says, according to National MP Chester Burrows, the man who created the law, it didn't work. So the anti-gang law, the man who created it said it didn't work. And in 2011, the Wanganui District Council Prohibition of Gang Insignia Act breached New Zealand's Bill of Rights. So in New Zealand, they attempted to create anti-gang law, and a number of portions of the law, I think, was struck down because they breached New Zealand's Bill of Rights. In Australia, Australia is unsurprisingly facing the similar gang issues to New Zealand. So much so, a new task force is being set up to try and combat the problem. Their laws at both the state and federal levels focus on gangs rather than the crimes. The logic behind anti-consorting laws is if gangsters can't meet up, they can't make trouble. Task forces like Strike Force Raptor and Erubus search for and arrest members. Western Australia went further still with an all-out ban on gang patches and insignia, including facial tattoos.
Okay, I cool with that.
Right? So, but that similar law in New Zealand didn't work. It breached their Bill of Rights. Australia was able to do it, banning insignia, tattoos, and gang patches. The U.S. has a different approach. The First Amendment guarantees citizens freedom of assembly. Mm-hmm. Like us, we have a freedom of association, meaning gangs are technically allowed. Mm. So their federal laws, specifically the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, which we know as the RICO Act, mm-hmm. target crime rather than the gangs themselves. If caught, gang members face up to 20 years in prison.
Sound like that's the way we need to go.
Now, we have ourselves, Mr. Newry, we have actually, we implemented laws in 2014, and what has been pointed out in a number of these articles is that it appears those laws have barely been
used. And we see that the Prime Minister said that we will readjust, reach, and change the law to have it be a standalone law.
Right. But the commentary from both the AG and the Minister of National Security, right, law would criminalize the institution of the gang, and they're grappling with how to prove someone is in a gang, suggests to me that they are not following the U.S.'s lead. The U.S. focuses on the crime rather than the gangs themselves.
Mm-hmm. And this is where the National Security Minister mentioned that there's going to be some challenge. So we've got to adjust in order for the challenge.
Canada's approach is somewhere between Australia and the U.S. They also focus on targeting firearms. Canada's recent spike in drive-by shootings has provoked the government to rush in laws, making it harder for gangs to access guns like semi-automatics, assault rifles, and handguns. People who already own those types of guns are being forced to sell them back to the government, like New Zealand's buyback plan in 2019. There's also a ban on resales, imports, and transfers. Right, that's Australia. The UK doesn't have laws targeting gangs or membership, like the US focusing on the actual crime. That includes possession of drugs like cannabis and cocaine, guns without a license, and knives, which are outlawed completely in public. If gang violence escalates, councils, like equivalent to local government, can activate a civil tool called a gang injunction. It allows police to get involved more aggressively. But British MPs say that that mechanism has barely made a difference. So I want to point out there, the Bahamas, the common law jurisdiction, UK, similar jurisdiction, they decided that they're going to they will focus on the crime rather than criminalizing the associations. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the question is, why is the Bahamian government attempting to criminalize the associations when our constitution guarantees the right to freedom of association?
Well, when you have prime ministers make an announcement that they're prepared to breach the constitution, right? This is why they can entertain such, because we, the general public, apparently has no value of the constitution. We don't cherish it to challenge back and say, hey, I hear you talking foolishness. Mm-hmm. But if you, the day you start it, you know you'll be out. The value of the constitution is supposed to be so supreme that we are willing to suffer in order to protect it. But when you see you have no value in yourself, that's when we allow politicians to say anything.
Very interesting critique. I wonder if the cost to challenge the Constitution, right, the cost to bring a law or provision, a set of provisions in a law, to a court to challenge or to ask whether it is actually in line with the Constitution, that the costs are prohibitive.
The cost to challenge people just to become a leader of a party is prohibitive. So I can imagine that they make it that way and make sure that, Murray said that sometimes you get locked for the 4 years and say, don't worry, you can challenge it, but we can have you off the streets in that meantime.
Yeah. It's a lot to think about. It's a lot to think about. I'm still stuck on this idea that after that 4 years, though, I, as a taxpayer, may be required to contribute monies to pay for this breach of the individual's rights.
Bahamians don't care. They're prepared to pay.
They care about money.
They're prepared to pay. Look how much people we have detained and we paid millions of dollars to. And nobody cried up.
That's because we don't know exactly. I mean, because we've introduced this concept of confidential settlements into a legal system that I don't think tolerates confidential settlements. But let's go back to the article. Here's an article from Turks and Caicos Weekly News from 2022. The new anti-gang laws. It is now a criminal offense for anyone living in the Turks and Caicos Islands to be in or become a member of a gang or to harbor, conceal, or recruit gang members. This offense carries a penalty of 10 years imprisonment for a first conviction and a penalty of 20 years imprisonment for any subsequent convictions, while a gang leader would be liable to imprisonment for 25 years.
What is funny with this Turks and Caicos one is, Turks and Caicos has an immigrant issue. The gangs there are ethnic based. How can you punish someone for being an immigrant? I hear them, what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
But you can't say, oh, you're a gang member because you are, I can call it the particular immigrant group in, right. Is, but because you are them, therefore you're in a gang. See, they play with those people. And the people there aren't willing to challenge it and say, stop talking foolishness.
Can the people there afford to challenge it?
They're being unable to challenge it.
Because Turks and Caicos is a territory, right? Mm-hmm. I need to explore exactly how their legal system works in terms of challenging laws. This story is very interesting because in the paper last week or this week, we saw the story where a young boy was approached and stabbed, alleging that the people who attacked him were attempting to get him to join a gang. It turns out, I think, that a number of juveniles were charged in the matter. Could you imagine if those juveniles were to face a 10-year sentence for that offense? Is that draconian for young people? I mean, for juveniles.
And I appreciate you bringing that up because gang members tend to be young people.
Right.
Are we prepared? Because I know the gang laws is 20 years here that we have currently on the books.
Right.
Are we prepared to have a 12-year-old who is in a gang and have a standalone gang law? Say that once you set a gang, you can serve 20 years. Are you prepared to have that child who's 14 come out in 20 years?
Absolutely. We're going to go to the phone line in a second. And are we understanding that it's a minor that we're talking about, right? To what extent? I don't have them right, and that text line just gone off. But are we able to see the young person as both a victim and a criminal? Do we see, like, what's a 12-year-old doing in a gang? Are they coerced into the gang?
Of course you're coerced inside of the gang.
Right, so do we reconcile or do we recognize some of these young people engaged in this activity as being under duress?
But then we got to also appreciate, if we go back circa 1992, 1994, why they joined the gang. They joined a gang in order to survive.
There you go.
You didn't do that because you wanted to join a gang. Either you link up or face death.
Or get bullied and beaten to pieces every day.
Every day. So he eventually said, man, I with you all. Just protect me from those other people.
Right. And so are gangs the symptom of a dereliction of duty by the state and by society? Right? And are we vilifying and criminalizing young people that have actually been trapped, kidnapped, hostaged into this criminal culture?
And this is why I say that perhaps the best way is to target the criminals, right? Mm-hmm. Target the criminals and not necessarily the individuals who are forced into a lifestyle they cannot come out of.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phone line and then let's revisit that point. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Morning, 52.
Firstly, you know, of course I would agree with Mr. Nui's initial statements, right? We all willing to live a lie, and I'm very upset, you know, being that I'm diverse, you know, I lived in the suburbs, I live in the inner city. So now, we know that the inner city has many delinquents, so then the proliferation of crime, but the crime also exists in the periphery. Then I see a pastor or somebody riding around in the daytime, but thank God they're not doing it too late. But they're riding around with a loudspeaker preaching and reading from the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. But he should do that all around, not just the inner city. Because, you know, I mean, that's not only the sinner in the inner. But, yes, we're, you know, Aaron, why is it that I can't have a conversation with you guys in private? See, anyway, I'd like to talk to you in private.
Man, that's all you had
right,
to say, 52?
That's all you had to say? I need someone to put out what I have to say. I don't want to say what, listen to me. Solving crime is very easy. Like I said, we need to do some cleansing here.
Yeah.
So, C.A. Nui mentioned the fact that in Sticks and Cakers, the migrant community, the gangs, right? What I'm saying is migrant community breeds gangs. Aaron, you saw the gang problem happening in Glasgow, England, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So why are you so naive here? I mean, obviously gangs exist, Mr. Nui. I can't get into all the intricacies. But what I'm saying is, if using drugs is a crime, right?
Yes.
Using drugs is a crime, right?
Using drugs without proper authorization.
No, you know, they talking about illegal drugs.
Yeah.
All right, so what I'm saying is, you trying to tell me no one in government using drugs? So then, what I'm saying is, we need to start from an example. No one is making disclosures. No one is doing this, no one is doing that. Mm-hmm. My neighbor in the back of me called and talked about the influence of the executive branch on the judiciary, right?
Yes.
And the legislative branch. So what I'm saying is, we might say, in theory, that they have separate powers, but right. We have seen with our own eyes the subversion of justice by certain people. We have seen certain cases nullied. We have seen a lot of things.
We've been told.
Go in the archives. So what I'm saying is,
yes.
We all living in a hypocritical state. You know, the police come up in roadblocks. The people have a problem with that. I mean, they can be. What I'm saying is, you have to give and take. But yet still, We having these conversations about democracy and the greater good, public terror, et cetera. But we saw where during the pandemic, they were willing and really attempting to, and took away our rights to force people to take a vaccine, mm-hmm. which has no benefit. And then we see where the Defense Force saying 11 of those people, only one is unvaccinated. So what that means? It just proved the fruitlessness of all of their actions. And China is a great example of why breaching constitutional rights doesn't work, because China still have a problem. It's like a merry-go-round.
Yeah, they have internal tension to deal with every day, all the time.
To see justice as being carried out. So the gang problem, the problem is somebody kill you, and then you're saying you got these guys more unfair for their life, so they're going to be strapped. In the States, some of them would have been licensed gun holders, and they would have been self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, people knocking Sparky, but I'll share this with you. And we have, because we don't meditate a lot. When Sparky talk about hanging people on Malcolm Park, I don't know if it could be Malcolm Park, but wherever it could be, in the day or after dark, it don't matter to me. What I'm saying is, there's some instances that people should be hanged or put to death. And it should be, I prefer hanging, but in very rare instances, but some people have to be hanged. Not if someone killed someone, if someone jerk him or he ended up in a problem. He doesn't go around target innocent people. Rape and robbery, home invasion and murder, and all of these things, you commit murder doing Satan heinous acts, and the way how you commit the act, right?
Yes.
Maybe you should set an example, because when they see, and I agree, when these young guys see some people hanging, and I could even leave them hanging for a day and all, they would drop these AK-47 for real. And so the fact that people are saying, oh, anyone caught with a gun, be given this amount of time, that's the dumbest thing they can. Listen to me.
No,
if a person caught with a gun,
52,
and he's never had an offense before, and he's a certain age, and he's never been in any problem, why would you give him the full amount? See, the law has to be within the parameter, like you're saying.
Right.
So we are all hypocrites, because if someone is serving the public, I want to know if they're on drugs or not. I never had a problem back in the days when I was young saying I smoking weed. Police tell me, oh, you know it's legal. I say, well, I where I live. So what it is? You don't think the people on the streets know who's using drugs in hierarchies?
52.
We are all a nation of hypocrites, man. And we can't solve the problem, because the solution to crime is starting from the top and going to the bottom.
Okay,
that's never going to happen, because we see the subversion.
52, we can call you.
Richard.
The extension that you made, the invitation you made, I can call you.
But let me ask you this, because I was going to ask 52, and you couldn't hear me asking the question. The question was, I can ask you instead.
Yeah.
Thus far, since we acknowledge that we have a quote-unquote gang problem, and you know I debate on whether we have a gang problem as yet, has the media come forth with a narrative of who gangs are fighting and what they're fighting for, where they're located, any kind of detailed information about what is happening? I've seen people dying, but I don't know why, where, how, wherefores, any type of narrative for me to conclude, okay, I see it. I ain't going in this area because this is where this particular people hang out. Have you seen that as yet?
No, but I don't want to suggest that not seeing that is an indictment on the media.
It's an indictment on somebody.
Mr. Nuri, what are you asking for, though?
I just want to have a narrative. See.
No, a narrative is a story, right?
Yeah, but the narrative is the explanation.
But what happens,
you can't say the narrative?
Is somebody in the media, I'm a reporter.
Yes.
What you're telling me is you want me to expose the workings of local gangs.
I want the media to interview those persons who are in charge, to give them details about what is happening to us. What is happening to us.
The
at this
state,
present.
You mean you
the
want
state.
The media to interview the police?
Yeah,
okay. I thought you meant you want me to go and find, you want me to go and engage in an investigative journalism
a
documentary on how gangs operate in the country.
Our media don't have the time, money, expense to do that. So
I don't know if they have the security. I don't know if we have the infrastructure.
But
I don't know if we have the political culture that would allow the media to do that in the open.
Decades ago, you could call a gang name, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you could give a narrative, say they are located on this street and that street. These are the leaders of the particular gang. These are the makeup of the age range of this particular gang. These are the ones who have criminal records. This is how
I think the police have that information.
I don't have that. I don't have that.
The question is, has the media sought that out or... And have been refused access to that information.
Aaron, I'm trying to protect myself.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get involved in gang, like they said.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to drive past inside particular areas if it's a place is violent. Right. Right. I have no clue
where the places to
where
avoid
the places
are.
To avoid. I don't know who to avoid. I'm assuming that these gangs that they say exist is at church. Don't go to church because that ain't safe. See, they ain't providing me with nothing to work with. And if they did not provide me with nothing to work with, that means it does not exist. And they should at least give the bare basic.
But okay, so how do you do that? And then how will they do that in the face of new legislation and a new approach to gang activity, right? Criminalizing the institution of a gang. What if I go to a place to shoot? I go to a place because they have a pool table.
Yeah.
That's why I go, because they have a pool table. The only place in my area or on my route or that's convenient to me that has a pool table. And I go there after work or whenever to shoot pool. I didn't know that Boyd MSB planning things in here. I didn't know that this was a hangout for people of a particular association, of a particular gang. I didn't know. All I know is this on my route and this have a pool table.
I hear you.
And
because that have happened to me in my young age. But imagine the police decide to raid the pool area.
Right, this is what I'm saying.
You're going to get locked up as a gang member. But, and if they didn't tell me not to go there, I wouldn't have gone there.
But how will the police reasonably do that? How can you prove? Even, look here, I play in pool with somebody and we play in for bears. Mm. And because we play in for bears, we being amicable. We being amenable and nice to each other. And you come in and you meet me in the bike clinking bears because I just win 2 bears and I give him 1 bear because I don't want him to get mad at me for winning up all his bear money. How do you, are you going to use that to say that obviously I am a part of this enterprise because I in here smiling with these people?
And behemoths are now interrogating that. It seems as if they don't care, because in our desperation of dealing with this crime situation we have, we are prepared to ignore the obvious flaw.
Now,
and that is the obvious flaw. How do you police? Because we have parks. Children go and play basketball on parks. Gang members tend to go on parks to recruit children. You're trying to say, if I'm on the park playing ball with people and you do a raid, say, man, they all in that community belongs to
right.
this particular. See, something
in
is
fact,
wrong with that.
Then the basketball example is great because we played 3-on-3, 5-on-5. What if they short a man and they ask me to come on the court and play with them?
If they identify the area as a gang area, don't go.
Producer, let's go. We're going to go to the phone line. And then, Mr. Nuri, you hiding all my texts, man. Good morning, caller.
Good morning again.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Nuri. I called earlier and commented on Sparky making a remark about your knowledge, right?
Yes,
here?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I don't want my boy 52 to think that I'm picking on Sparky, because I always appreciate 52 contributions.
Yes.
And he has a very good handle on what's happening in this country and
in the
cities and all the rest of that.
Yes, sir.
And you don't know who I am, but we went to school at S.C. McPherson together, too. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm digressing from that. But the issue with this gang and shooting and all the rest of that, I made some contributions on a couple of shows and was saying that what the government need to do is set up these outposts and the business communities to get involved and have policemen and reservists and men or members of each community to be in outposts, like, say, in parking lots and strategic areas. Because if one was right there last night by Esso, that shooting would have never happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I also suggested to Blakey right years ago that if the government and society was to get mopeds, and like with the tourism just rent, they're very cheap, they're very easy to operate, they don't burn much gas, this would eradicate most of these maneuvers around the place. Because when I had spoken with Dwight and them the morning when Carlos and Scucci was on, when they had that double shooting down in Prince Charles, that was the same morning. If things were in place, and because we have to use technologies, because with the drones and with WhatsApp and groupings, and you know, if a telco would sponsor some telephone in these booths, or Alive would sponsor some telephone numbers in these booths, communication would be in every constituency. I also had called on that all members of parliament should have constituency meetings and try and get the community watch groups together. Nothing has happened since. So to bring this shooting down and everything, let the police do what they got to do. And just remember, my cousin is the Commissioner of Police, Clayton Fernando. If they interested in hearing from people who have ideas about trying to combat this, I won't say gang thing, but this shooting thing, then this murder rate will go down less than half by the end of the year.
Thank
you, and you all have a nice day.
Absolutely. Right. For that idea to work, right, the MPs need to depoliticize the constituency offices because you're maintaining a gang culture in that space by insisting that it is a party space.
It's not a party space?
It is not a party space, sir.
But that's where we work the war room.
No. That's not what the constituency office is from, and it should be devoid of that type of politic, right? Once you have been elected an MP, that space, if you decide to turn your office into a constituency office, then it becomes devoid of politics.
Let's take this last call and then we go on a break. But let me read this first, right? Say, Scotiabank invites you to help them bring big energy for Junior Junkanoo. Follow their Instagram page, Scotiabank Bahamas, as they visit participating schools to get our youngsters hyped and ready for the big parade on Thursday, that's tomorrow, January 25th. Once you log on the page, hit the follow button and the like the pics and from the school tour. Come out and watch the Junior Junkanoo Parade from 6 p.m. this Thursday and use the Scotiabank IG page to vote for your favorite school as they show up and show out. Feel the energy, celebrate the vibe of Junior Junkanoo, Scotiabank, the official bank of Junior Junkanoo. Let's take this last call, and then we have some texts that Aaron wants to read, but we can read those texts when we come back.
Oh, yeah.
But let me take this call right now. Go ahead, producer. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, Karen Green and Mr. Nuri.
Afternoon.
I think we are focusing on the wrong area. This is less of a gang thing and a more of a wannabe thing, you know.
Okay,
explain. What you're seeing going on, what you're seeing going on in the street is pure conflict resolution, all right?
Okay.
If you look at the age of those persons that are committing these atrocious crimes, most of those young men are under 25 years old, all right? Mm-hmm. Most of the gangs are focused on either drugs, how to make money, but this type of prolific crime you're seeing every day, this is a more a wannabe thing, okay? And we got to focus more on those kids now in kindergarten coming up and go to the junior schools and the high schools. And a lot of this got a lot to do with our different nationalities also. And I'm not blaming any particular nationality. It's just that we can't just simply get along.
Well, hold on. It's more than we can't get along. It's the dynamics. It's the dynamics of migration and unchecked migration. And I don't mean, just a bunch of illegal migrants. I mean an administrative crisis that needs migrants but refuses to create effective systems to manage migrants.
I have an idea right now, Aaron Green and Mr. Neary.
Yes.
Right? We need to enforce, I think we did it the other day, that we put that you have to have an ID on you at all times. We need to enforce that particular law if it's on the books. And you'll see the slowdown in a lot of these crimes that's going on. Because guess what? If the police just have a spot check, right? Not profiling any particular group of people or any particular person, right?
Right.
Have a spot check if you don't have an ID, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the way the police can gain revenue and make the citizen of the country more responsible. Because if you don't have an ID, you're going to be arrested and you're gonna be charged and you have to pay a fine, okay? Let's start there.
Now,
thank you, guys.
I like it. I like it.
I like that you're thinking about it. That idea has to be so carefully detailed and... But let's go to the caller.
We must be going on a commercial break. Let's take this one caller. Next caller who just called now, we got to come after the commercial break, man. But let's take this one caller. Go ahead, producer. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning,
morning
to you.
Good morning.
You know, I like what Mr. Neary is saying about knowing where to, where you can, where you should or should not be at a certain time because of who will be there or who gathers there. You know, because I have a 10th grader son, and he is now afraid to stay in his school, one of the government schools that he is in now, because the feed school, which is a junior school, will be sending the students there come September, and one of the guys there already chased him with a knife. So now I'm afraid to move him to any other school because I don't know if this child will come to that school or end up in the school where he ends up. So my only option right now is to try and send him to a family island because he's afraid. I tell him, you know, speak up for yourself if somebody come after you or whatever. He said, but mommy, it's way on the park. When I walk in past the park, that's where the young man is be. And he chased him with a knife. So knowing where to go and where to hang out, you know, is paramount in knowing. So they need to do something like how America does. If you speak into a gang member person, disguise their voice. Put them under cover with stuff covering their faces. So you would get some information. But if these persons know you can pimp them off, they're not going to talk to you.
That's
so
right.
So going out there saying you can talk to gang members is not going to help.
Cousin, for the young men, we need to take them to gyms. We need to take them to dojos. We need to teach them martial arts, self-defense skills, right?
So, but, you know, I've taught my son some of that, but right. What can that do against a knife? I tell him, you cannot take a knife to a gunfight.
Right, listen, but it gives them a degree of self-confidence that they can protect themselves in some situations. And although this is not for this particular instance with the young man and the knife, it gives young men a degree of confidence that they don't need to pick up a weapon to defend themselves.
Hey, well, we got to go. I empathize what you're going through because I went through the same thing. And I could bring that up again on the next side. But it's been Guided Radio on AM with C.A. Neary. Of course, Aaron Green is with me. We have our mashup Wednesday, Man Down Wednesday, as we combine both shows together and we analyze the news. We'll be right back.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guided Radio AM with C.A. Neary, and we are analyzing news. I see the callers on the line. We can produce the caller through. The caller just now reminded me of a bygone era when schools was
were designated as or were problematic cases.
But the school itself was a gang. I remember coming from Fox Hill, I couldn't pass certain schools. I remember going on Wilson Street. I couldn't go to that school at all because the school is known. See, I'm a little concerned with the gang laws because they will impact our children, our young children, our 15, 16, 17-year-olds, right? And especially when you're here in 20 years, $10,000 fine.
And will these laws enable officers to discern between a gang member and a victim of gang culture?
Let's go to the caller anyway. Go ahead, caller. Guided Radio AM, what's the anyway? Call a girl once. Call a girl twice. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this gang thing, I think that's like you said, it'd be difficult to determine what is a gang and whatnot. But, you know, Charles Wilhana, I don't know if that's your cousin, Aaron.
Yes.
But he's a very high-ranking officer now on the police force. He has written a book on crime and how to deal with crime and criminality in the Bahamas. Aaron, we've had, like I've said on many occasions, we have numerous select committees on crime. We have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on these things, and they are where? In file number 13. And so I don't know what else we need to do. In regards to the gentleman who called about the ID, there was a time, some years ago, I know you remember when a high-ranking banking official, he was stopped by immigration or somebody, but he didn't have his documents on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a call way back, and this must have been in 2012 thereabouts, for us to have a national ID card. Every person who in this country should have a national ID card. Turks and Caicos has it. Other countries have it. Why can't we have a national ID card so immigration can know who is in our country?
One of these days we can deal with that.
How difficult is that, CA?
We can
find money to do all other kind of foolishness and spend money and with the technologies that shouldn't be hard to do.
I'll tell you why, but I'll do that when we talk another time. Go to the next caller, Aaron.
Thank you, caller.
Pastor, what caller?
Yep.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
CA.
Hey.
Now, I'm like you, perplexed about what is a gang in the Bahamas? Mm. The gang I know in the States, they are organized, selling dope, gang, robbing, you know, making, I know one guy
gang
in Miami called John Doe's. They're cutting up 2 kilos a week.
Mm.
I mean, they was killing and robbing. The local police didn't know what to do. They had a witness. They come and kill the witness until they called the feds. And the feds had to do the Rico Act. Wiretap them, follow them, sell them dope, sell them guns for the year and two. And one night, 5 o'clock, 40 doors get knocked down. And there are so much of them, the member, the leader, got men on death row now because of that same Joe Biden Violent Crime Act. That means that shut down Miami criminals, even Zoe Pound. They were out of control on murdering. But they changed the law. They tightened that law that if your mother buying you your cars, she's a member of the gang. If your auntie or your sister buying you iPhone 15, she's a member of that gang. See, it's called the Rico. You ever see that rap group called YSL?
Mm.
What the funny Lewis shut down?
Mm.
With her Georgia Rico Act? Anybody involved with organized crime, they're helping you. They're helping you to live. Most of them are Western reading right. Who paying the bail?
But listen, some of the...
Thank you very much.
How the bail being paid? Who paying the insurance on you?
This is,
who paying
the rent? Here's the thing. Just an instance. If I have a right to bail, right, how are you going to criminalize the person who's paying my bail?
That's what we plan to do, though.
I mean, I don't think that that's something that we can
do. Let's go through the text and then we go to this caller. Let's see how many you can read.
Actually, this text I had here, let's go through. That text was, the caller actually reflected that. Text here, are we using the CCTV cameras regularly? Another text. These women are killing young boys. The reason why most of these young men are embroiled in issues is because they are forced to traverse spaces that these mothers should be protecting them from. Disgusting. I wonder, are their fathers supposed to be protecting them?
They ain't getting no daddy.
I mean, they have a daddy.
They ain't getting no daddy.
They have a daddy. They have a biological father.
You think so?
I mean, how did they get here? I mean, just Tuesday we discussed
Gabriel.
The immaculate...
Gabriel. Gabriel visited them. Any place where Gabriel comes, you know what.
I got to go to the call line.
Go ahead.
Gabriel is their daddy. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, just quickly, right? I just want to, like, marry the two calls, a call from a woman who said that her son was chased by a guy with a knife who can be transferred up to the grade level, right? And then
right. You
suggested that he should take some martial arts or whatever.
Well, I'm saying that
what you do against a knife.
Right.
What you got to say about that, right?
Yeah.
You know, like how they say early literacy is set you on a path to good learning or whatever.
Yes, sir.
Fertile ground.
Yes.
Well, and when it comes to boys, when you, between the ages, they say, like, 5 to 12, like that 1 to 6 probably won the grade 8.
Yes.
If you was a fighter then, and so if you were taking some martial arts then, you had some confidence in your fighting skills then.
Yes.
From the age of grade 1 to say grade 8 or something, you had some fights and you won some fights in that age bracket. Now when the guns and the knife started to get packed later on in senior high, them same fellas, they ain't really play with you because they remember back in the day when it come to boys, like, you was a fighter. So, like, early fighting is, like, kind of a ward-off against later fighting in a strange way. That's, like, with boys. That's kind of something I'd say.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
And it's not about emboldening them to fight. It's about ensuring that they don't panic, that they're not afraid to walk the road that they have to walk because they have a sense of self and their ability to protect them. Selves. Another text. Even with technology, we still aren't efficient. Look at the license plate situation at road traffic. This country is really trashy right now. Mr. Pindling really did us a disservice. We were safer and better off under the British UBP.
Madness.
That was a text. Another text. Everybody just needs to do their jobs. Police need to understand what confidential means.
There's a video circulating, let me do this quickly,
yes.
Of a person got shot at the gas station.
An assassination is what that is.
How did that get leaked out?
Exactly. And it's the unedited version that was leaked as well.
And there are a number of behemoths who are concerned that when you go to certain officials, all your life can just get leaked out. Because it always seems to be from officials that these things get leaked.
Or from state spaces, state agencies,
okay.
Right. Another text, or actors, let's say actors within state agencies.
Okay,
this is the text that says, I'm off topic, but please ask your news crew to go over Paradise Island and see how Atlantis making the taxi drivers drop the cruise ship passengers on the street between Comfort Suites and between Atlantis staff parking lot. Someone is going to get hit by a vehicle. Okay, so...
What's still happening?
Right. And so what you're saying is that there's not a space made available between the pink building and the parking structure for tourists to safely disembark taxis and make their way to the hotel. That we haven't touched on the why aren't taxis going directly to the hotel. We haven't touched on that part yet.
I thought that stopped.
Apparently it hasn't. But why are they... at Paradise Island and Atlantis, why is Atlantis not seemingly allowing taxi drivers to...
Private property. They don't want you...
Where does the private property begin and the public road end?
They bought all that road there.
Well, all of what road?
Where the red light is and bends.
So you mean from the initial red light when you cross the bridge...
No. We're going forward by Comfort Suites. We have Comfort Suites now at the junction.
Right.
Cross light is Atlantis.
There's a light between Atlantis and Comfort Suites?
Yeah.
It works?
It works.
I mean, it's on?
It's on.
I've been there a couple of times.
Yeah,
I see no light.
Because normally you just drive past straight to Atlantis.
No, I don't see the light.
Yeah, but the light's there. There's a light. Yeah, make a turn right. Yeah, right or go straight.
So, hold on. So, who put the light there?
Oh, well, all traffic light belongs to government.
And the road that the traffic light is on?
The road and the traffic lights is in the middle. And either you go drive onto the private property or you turn right onto the public property.
Right, so I come up the dual carriageway.
Yeah. And you can make a right.
Right.
And there's a traffic light right above that. Go straight into Atlantis. They purchase...
Hold on. No.
Go ahead.
I come off the bridge.
No, we already passed
that. No, but pause. This is, I come off the bridge and I turn right to go towards Atlantis.
Yeah.
I hit the first roundabout.
Yeah.
I take the first exit.
Yeah.
And I'm going towards Atlantis in the dual carriageway.
Yeah.
And then I turn right from there?
Yes, because there's a traffic light right there. You either go straight or you turn right.
What do you mean there's a traffic light
there's a traffic light right there.
That light don't operate.
It works.
That don't work.
That
don't be on.
Yeah, it works enough. But anyway, my point is the road that continues straight... it's private property.
So once you cross the pedestrian crossing?
Yeah.
That's private property?
Yes.
Up to?
To the hotel itself.
Right. But you can turn right.
You can turn right.
You're still on government road.
Still on government road.
Now, what about the road in between the parking structure and the pink building? You know that Wendy's supposed to go there?
Yeah, that's a private road too. But they don't block it off.
Well, that's a private road also?
That's a private road too.
How could that be a private road?
Because that's in between a parking structure. And the private property that they made as a parking area for the two places. Just that nobody,
nobody noticed and no one blocked it off. And you know, like how you block it off every year?
Oh, no, they just block it off. I mean, that's the most difficult road to navigate on PI.
That's a private road, too. That's a private road. That's a private road.
Oh, the inbounds that tourism has made in our own country. Yeah. Some more texts, Mr. Newry. CA, we have to blame these mothers, like the one who just called. Why is her son walking home and in fear of his life? You have a public transportation system that works? You have a phone number for one of these politicians that have bastardized the public transportation system for their own benefit for decades? And still don't run after 5:30? We don't need advice for young men. We need advice for women who can adequately protect these young men.